Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Baker, with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, the great American poet, Mr. Carl Sandburg, and Vincent Price as our master of ceremonies.
Thank you, Larry Elliott. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you Paul Whiteman playing the music of George Gershwin. For of all the conductors, it is Mr. Whiteman who best knows how to catch in melodic line and dynamic phrase the composer's lively music. Paul Whiteman and his orchestra in a brilliant medley of some of Gershwin's best-loved tunes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul Whiteman. And now, ladies and gentlemen, standing here beside me in the studio is one of America's greatest poets, a poet of the people. He thinks the people's thoughts, he feels their feelings, and he speaks for them. He knows that they can take their medicine with sugar coating or they can take it naked and bitter. He knows they're going to take the shocking details of our next story with a cold resolve that such things must be stopped and must never happen again. Carl Sandburg, celebrated poet of America's soul and sinew and vigor, has written a new, an arresting, yes, a brutal poem about one phase of this war. He has come here to the studio to read you that poem, The Man with the Broken Fingers. Mr. Carl Sandburg.
The man with the broken fingers throws a shadow down from the spruce and evergreen mountain timbers of Norway and across Europe and the Mediterranean to the oasis palms of Libya. He lives and speaks a sign language of lost fingers. From a son of Norway who slipped the Gestapo nets, the Nazi patrols, the story comes as told among those now in Norway. Shrines in their hearts they have for this nameless man who refused to remember names the Gestapo wanted. Tell us those names. Who were they? Talk. We want those names. And the man faced them, looked them in the eye, and hours passed, and no names came. Hours on hours, and no names for the Gestapo. They told him they would break him as they had broken others. The rubber hose slammed around face and neck, the truncheon handing pain with no telltale marks. The distinction of the firing squad and death in a split second. The Gestapo considered these and decided for him something else again. Tell us those names. Who were they? Talk. Names now, or else. And no names came over and over, and no names. So they broke the little finger of the left hand. Three fingers came next, and the left thumb bent till it broke. Still no names, and there was a day and a night for rest and thinking it over. Then again the demand for names, and he gave them the same silence. And the little finger of the right hand felt itself twisted, back and back twisted, till it hung loose from a bleeding socket. Then the three more fingers crashed and splintered one by one, and the right thumb back and back into shattered bone. Did he think about violins or accordions he would never touch again? Did he think of baby or woman hair he would never again play with? Or of hammers or pencils no good to him anymore? Or of gloves and mittens that would always be misfits? He may have laughed half a moment over a perfect Gestapo job. So now for a while he would handle neither knife nor fork, nor lift to his lips any drinking cup handle, nor sign his name with a pen between thumb and fingers. And all this was halfway. There was more to come. The Gestapo Wittenkraft had a aim. They wanted it known in Norway. The Gestapo can be terrible. They wanted a wide whispering of fear of how the Nazis handle those who won't talk or tell names. We give you one more chance to cooperate. And he had no names for them. His locked tongue, his Norwegian will pitted against Nazi will, his pride and faith in a free man's way. As welcoming death rather than do what they wanted. They brought against this their last act of fury, breaking the left arm at the elbow, breaking it again at the shoulder socket. And when he came to, in a flicker of opening eyes, they broke the right arm first at the elbow, then the shoulder. By now, of course, he had lost all memory of names, even his own. And there are those, like you and me and many, many others, who can never forget the man with the broken fingers. His will, his pride as a free man shall go on. His shadow moves and his sacred fingers speak. He tells men there are 1,000 writhing, shattering deaths. Better to die one by one than to say yes, 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 when the answer is no, no, no. And death is welcome, and death comes soon, and death is a quiet step into a sweet, clean midnight.
How much? How much for a little finger broken on the left hand? How much for 3 more fingers? How much then for a thumb? And then the other hand. How much for an arm broken at the elbow and again at the shoulder socket? And then the other arm. How much for such a broken man? How much for 10 such? 10,000? 100,000? Speak! How much, America? How much? Will you pledge at least 10% of your salary and invest it in war savings bonds and stamps to pay the price of liberty, freedom, and democracy? No amount is too small, and no amount can be too large to pay for such a precious possession. All over the world, men have died and are dying to preserve this freedom, to assure this victory. If we are to deserve their sacrifice, we must do our parts. Are you investing your share in war savings bonds? If not, begin today. Every dollar you invest in war savings bonds and stamps, you are investing in the freedom and security of America. This is your country. How much will you pledge to keep it yours?